Usually when we picture the ultimate futuristic smart home, there's this expectation of perfect, frictionless convenience.
Right. The dream we've all been sold for like a decade now.
Yeah, exactly. You wake up, sensors detect your movement, the lights gently fade up, the coffee just starts brewing, the doors unlock for you automatically. It's beautiful.
It's a perfectly choreographed digital ballet. I mean, everything anticipates your needs before you even realize you have them.
Completely seamless. Well, right up until the power grid goes down or, a server on the other side of the country crashes.
Oh, yeah. And then suddenly you're standing in the dark.
Right. You're standing in the dark and you realize those beautifully seamless automated doors, they don't actually have manual handles anymore.
And that is the exact moment convenience turns into a trap. We love the elegance of a system that manages everything for us until we suddenly need to take manual control.
And we realize the physical levers have been deliberately removed.
Exactly. The architecture of the system itself just prevents you from intervening.
Which brings us to today. Welcome to our deep dive into what is, frankly, already shaping up to be one of the most explosive mornings in tech history, May 5th, 2026.
It's been a wild morning.
Six massive bombshells just dropped simultaneously. We are looking at everything from unprecedented hardware revolutions to, honestly, catastrophic security crises.
Yeah, and our mission today isn't just to read you the headlines, it's to connect the dots between them.
Because there is a very clear, very deliberate thread running through all of this. What's the overarching theme we're seeing here?
I would call it control and consequence. On one hand, you have the world's largest tech giants making incredibly aggressive plays for total ecosystem lock-in.
Right.
They want complete AI automation. They want to manage your physical space and your digital reality.
But on the exact same day, we're seeing massive security failures exposing the extreme, almost terrifying fragility of that very same infrastructure.
Precisely. The foundations are shaking.
So, let's unpack this, starting with the ultimate walled garden, the smartphone in your pocket. The details on Google's upcoming Pixel 11 just leaked.
And it is a radical piece of hardware. It's the world's first fully portless and buttonless phone.
Completely portless. So wait, no USB-C at all?
None. There are no physical volume buttons either. There isn't even a SIM card tray.
Wow.
Yeah, the entire device is a sealed glass and metal slab. It's completely digital, reliant entirely on wireless tech and internal sensors.
I assume this isn't just an aesthetic choice, right? By killing the port, they are fundamentally killing the third-party accessory market.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you buy this phone, you can't just borrow a cheap gas station charging cable when you're in a pinch.
Exactly. It's an aggressively engineered ecosystem lock-in. To power it, the Pixel 11 relies on a 50-watt Q2 Pro wireless charger.
50 watts wirelessly.
Yeah. And for data, it uses Wi-Fi 7, hitting transfer speeds of like 40 gigabits per second. Plus, it stores up to 8 eSIM profiles internally.
Let me just stop you at 50-watt wireless charging. Because for the listener who, isn't obsessing over battery specs, 50 watts is essentially modern laptop charging speed.
It's incredibly fast.
Right. Pushing that through a wireless coil without melting the battery has to require some serious thermal management.
It does, which is why the removal of the port is actually structurally necessary for them.
Oh, I see. To make room.
Exactly. Without the internal space taken up by a USB-C assembly, they can integrate these larger graphene cooling pads.
Got it.
And Google is framing this entirely as a durability win. By removing all the ingress points, the holes, it achieves an IP69K rating.
Wait, IP69K. Again, for the listener, we aren't just talking about accidentally dropping your phone in the toilet or swimming pool anymore, right?
Not at all.
The 9K means it can survive high pressure, high temperature water jets. Like, you could practically power wash this phone.
You literally could, and it significantly reduces their mechanical manufacturing costs on the assembly line, too.
But the durability argument is just a smokescreen, isn't it?
Completely. It's a smokescreen for the real strategy. By removing the universal USB-C port, Google is essentially forcing users into their proprietary wireless world.
So if you buy a Pixel 11, you are heavily incentivized to buy their $120 proprietary charging stands.
Yep. And their $89 Pixel Buds for audio and their $349 Pixel Watch.
It perfectly mirrors Apple's classic vertical integration playbook. But by eliminating the wired escape hatch entirely, they're escalating it.
And the way they are handling the missing buttons is fascinating. They've replaced them with programmable pressure-sensitive capacitive sensors.
So how does that work if it's just smooth glass?
So if you do a light press on the side of the glass, the volume drops. A medium press makes it louder. Mm. A hard press triggers silent mode.
Interesting.
And it uses these advanced haptic engine vibration motors to literally trick your brain. When you press the glass, the motor vibrates so precisely that your finger feels a physical click that didn't actually happen.
It's a brilliant illusion.
Mm.
But this specific hardware choice puts Google on a direct collision course with the law, doesn't it?
Big time. States like New York, California, and Massachusetts recently passed strict right-to-repair laws.
Right, requiring companies to ensure devices can be fixed by consumers in independent shops.
Exactly. Because if a physical button breaks on an older phone, a repair shop just opens it up and swaps out a 50-cent mechanical switch.
But if an integrated, pressure-sensitive, capacitive sensor fails on a perfectly sealed, power wash-proof glass slab,
yeah,
you can't just replace a part.
The whole phone becomes unfixable. I mean, if the internal wireless charging coil dies, you can't even plug a cable in to pull your photos off the drive.
Wow.
Yeah, Google is risking massive legal fines in the U.S. to push this architecture through.
It's like buying a house where the front doors are welded shut, and only the original builder has the proprietary magnetic key to let you in.
That is a perfect way to look at it.
If the magnet breaks, you're just staring at a brick wall.
But I have to question the market reality here. Sure, the reports show 68% of Americans have wireless chargers on their nightstands at home.
But only 9% have access to wireless charging in public spaces. Imagine you are traveling for work, you are stuck in an airport, your digital boarding pass is on your phone, and you have 2% battery.
And the airport only has standard USB outlets.
Exactly. What do?
You're stranded. Unless you brought your bulky $120 proprietary charging puck with you.
Which defeats the whole purpose of a sleek, minimalist device. Could this be a marketing disaster? Like when Apple first removed the headphone jack and suddenly everyone was forced to carry around those terrible white dongles?
It's a massive gamble. And competitors like Samsung and Apple are watching the sales numbers like hawks.
What's the threshold for success?
Analysts define it as moving 15 million units in its first year. If they hit that, we will see Samsung drop ports by 2027 and Apple will immediately follow. The wired era will end.
But if it flops?
If it flops, it sets the industry's fully wireless transition back by half a decade.
So we have Google trying to assert absolute control over the hardware ecosystem in your pocket. But the landscape gets much bigger when we look at the companies racing to automate and control the spaces around you.
Both your physical home and your virtual worlds.
Let's look at the physical space first.
Yeah.
Apple just made a monumental $4 billion acquisition of a humanoid robotic startup.
Yeah. While the exact name isn't officially public yet, the internal footprints point heavily to either Figure AI or Agility Robotics.
Makes sense. I mean, after they officially canceled the $10 billion Apple Car project last year, they needed a new physical anchor.
A new flagship hardware category.
Right. And they have apparently decided the future is the ultimate butler robot.
And they are pricing it exactly how you would expect Apple to price it, the premium tier. They're targeting between $35,000 and $45,000.
Wow, so this is not a mass market toy. They are targeting wealthy families.
Completely. If you look at the wider robotics arena, Tesla is developing the Optimus robot, aiming for a mass market, almost appliance-like price of $20,000.
Okay, and then you have Boston Dynamics.
Right, with the Atlas, priced upwards of $60,000, focused on hyper-advanced industrial mobility. Apple is threading the needle right in the middle, banking entirely on ecosystem integration.
It's basically a $40,000 roommate that will only talk to other Apple products.
Pretty much. The internal documents show it connects natively with HomeKit, Apple Health, and an advanced version of Siri.
So what exactly will it do around the house?
It will do night security patrols, manage your smart thermostat, act as a physical personal assistant, and crucially handle elder care.
Elder care? So if an older parent has an Apple Watch monitoring their heart rate and mobility, the robot can physically assist them if they fall.
Exactly. Or bring them medication based on their Apple Health schedule.
That is the ultimate extension of the walled garden. You aren't just buying a gadget. You are integrating a physical entity into your daily life that relies entirely on Apple's proprietary servers to function safely.
That's the control aspect right there.
Well, if Apple is automating your physical living room, Epic Games is automating your digital space. And they are doing it with an aggression that has completely fractured the entertainment industry.
It's chaos right now. They just unveiled Unreal Engine 6, featuring a built-in generative AI tool called MetaForge.
And the mechanics of MetaForge are fundamentally altering how virtual worlds are built.
Yeah, previously, if a studio wanted to build a dense, realistic forest for a video game, environment artists would spend weeks hand-sculpting trees, placing rocks, adjusting the lighting physics,
texturing the mud, all of it by hand.
Right. But with MetaForge, you literally just type a text prompt into the engine. You type, a dense medieval forest at twilight with rain-slicked cobblestones and heavy fog.
And MetaForge, which has been trained on billions of existing 3D assets, just generates that fully rendered, perfectly lit 3D environment in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Production time goes from weeks to minutes.
And the fallout was immediate. Less than 6 hours after Epic's announcement, we saw the first widespread global digital strike against AI.
Thousands of 3D designers, animators, and environment artists across the US, Europe, and the UK walked out.
The hashtag NoAIInMyEngine trended with over 2.5 million posts in a single day. The labor unions are furious.
Rightfully so. They're demanding immediate transparency on exactly what training data MetaForge used, specifically if it scraped the artist's own previous work without compensation.
They want revenue sharing, job security guarantees, and an opt-out button so developers can use Unreal Engine 6 without the AI integration being forced on them.
But the studio executives are looking at the math. The CEO of Electronic Arts publicly praised the tech, noting it cuts their environmental production time by 40%.
Though independent and mid-sized studios like CD Projekt Red are drawing a line in the sand, right? They're siding with the artists.
Yeah, they argue that memorable games are built by human intentionality, not predictive algorithms.
I do want to challenge the sheer panic over MetaForge eliminating all human artists, though. AI still struggles heavily with the uncanny valley.
That unsettling feeling when something looks almost real but just slightly wrong?
Exactly. It's great at generating a generic forest, but it really struggles with specific, nuanced artistic direction. Think about the deeply unsettling psychological mood of a game like Silent Hill, or the rigorous historical accuracy required for Assassin's Creed.
That's a fair point.
Doesn't fixing an AI's subtly flawed, physically impossible geometry often take more human time than if an experienced artist just built it right from scratch?
Historically, yes. When Photoshop arrived, traditional graphic designers thought the industry was doomed. When modern game engines first emerged, graphics programmers were supposedly obsolete.
But they weren't.
Right. Instead, the tools just elevated the baseline of what was possible. Environment artists will likely use MetaForge to generate the repetitive background assets, the generic trees, the distant mountains, and then spend their human hours handcrafting the complex, creative hero assets that define the game's actual soul.
But even if it just elevates the baseline, isn't the transition period going to wipe out an entire generation of junior artists?
Yes, that is the real danger.
If you are a 3D artist listening to this right now, your stomach probably just dropped. How do you get the experience to become a senior hero asset designer if all the entry-level jobs are replaced by a 30-second text prompt?
That is the exact bottleneck the labor unions are warning about. The entry-level pipeline is being automated away, and we cannot underestimate how powerful the economic pull of Unreal Engine 6 is.
Right, like what happened with Naughty Dog today.
Exactly. Naughty Dog, the legendary Sony studio behind The Last of Us, announced they're completely abandoning their own proprietary game engine to use UE6 for their upcoming sci-fi RPG, Aeon.
That is an earthquake in the industry. Naughty Dog's proprietary engine is considered top tier.
It is, but maintaining it was costing them an estimated $50 to $80 million a year in engineering overhead. MetaForge eliminates that overhead.
The teaser trailer they showed for Aeon is so photorealistic that viewers genuinely thought it was live-action film footage.
But if a titan like Naughty Dog surrenders their independent engine to rely on Epic, it signals a massive, rapid consolidation of power. Epic becomes the sole landlord of digital creation.
Okay, so we are eagerly handing over the physical keys to our homes to Apple's robots.
Mwah.
And we are handing over the foundational architecture of our digital worlds to Epic's AI.
Yep.
But this brings us to the terrifying irony at the heart of today's deep dive. What happens when the underlying code and the wireless connectivity that all of these futuristic tools rely on, well, breaks?
Which brings us to the security crisis. The final set of reports today proves how dangerously brittle this future actually is.
Let's start with the Llama 4 disaster. Meta's early, completely uncensored version of their Llama 4 AI model has leaked onto the dark web.
And just to clarify the scale here, we are talking about a model with 405 billion parameters.
Think of a parameter like a neural connection in a brain. 405 billion means it is unfathomably complex in its reasoning capabilities.
And uncensored is the operative word here. It has zero ethical guardrails. Bad actors are currently using it to generate untraceable zero-day malware.
Meaning malware that exploits vulnerabilities the software maker hasn't even discovered yet, giving them literally 0 days to patch it before it's already in the wild.
Precisely. It is being used to generate highly sophisticated methods for hacking banking infrastructure, and it will just freely spit out chemical instructions for building explosives without triggering any internal warnings or blocks.
It's like a tech company publishing the master skeleton key for every digital vault in the world, knowing full well you can never change the locks.
You can't. Once an open source model of this size is circulating on the dark web, you cannot put the genie back in the bottle.
How did this even happen?
Security firms are tracking three working theories. First, an internal hack, perhaps a disgruntled engineer taking revenge after Meta laid off 10,000 employees last year.
Okay, what's the second?
Second, a state-sponsored cyber attack with early forensic evidence pointing toward advanced Chinese or Russian hacking collectives.
And the third?
Or third, honestly, the most embarrassing option. An accidental internal leak where Meta engineers placed the foundational files in a private GitHub repository that was mistakenly toggled to public.
Which, shockingly, they actually did previously with the Llama 1 model back in 2023.
Exactly. The precedent is there.
And the political fallout has been immediate. The U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee held an emergency session this morning.
What came out of that?
Just reporting the facts of the reaction here. Chairman Mark Warner called it a catastrophic security failure, and several senators on the committee are formally demanding a complete immediate halt to all of Meta's AI projects until a full federal investigation is concluded.
Wow. And while the Senate was debating the software vulnerabilities of our security, the physical infrastructure of our internet was simultaneously compromised.
You're talking about the Starlink attack.
Yeah. Elon Musk's Starlink satellite internet was hit by a massive 4-hour spoofing attack.
A spoofing attack. For the listener, think of this like a hacker sneaking into your neighborhood in the middle of the night and switching all the street signs.
Now that's a good analogy.
The delivery driver, which is your data, thinks they're going to the right house, but they're actually dropping your packages off at the hacker's house.
That is exactly what happened. Hackers forged GPS and satellite signals, tricking the Starlink receiver dishes on people's roofs into thinking they were communicating with the low Earth orbit satellites in space.
When in reality, their data was being rerouted to terrestrial servers controlled by the hackers.
The scale of the blackout was staggering. Over 120,000 home users across New York and California went completely offline.
And it wasn't just homes. 3,500 businesses lost their point-of-sale systems. And crucially, 18 hospitals and multiple military bases completely lost their internet connection for 4 solid hours.
SpaceX eventually neutralized the attack and is rolling out firmware updates, but the damage was already done.
But we need to look at why Starlink was vulnerable to this in the first place, right?
Right. The technical analysis reveals a deliberate architectural trade-off. To achieve the incredibly low latencies and high download speeds that consumers demand for things like 4K streaming and competitive gaming, Starlink uses lighter encryption protocols than traditional, slower satellite systems.
Because heavy encryption requires computing time. The hardware has to take milliseconds to scramble and unscramble the data packets.
Exactly. Starlink shaved off that encryption overhead to make the internet feel faster, but in doing so, they left the door unlocked for hackers to mimic the signals.
It is the ultimate real-world consequence of prioritizing frictionless convenience over resilient security.
It really is.
Which poses a serious question for you listening right now.
Yeah.
Are we willingly sacrificing essential security at the altar of speed?
It's a terrifying thought.
If 18 hospitals go completely dark, unable to access patient records or coordinate emergency services, simply because an internet service provider wanted slightly faster ping times for video calls, is our obsession with optimization actually making our critical infrastructure dangerously brittle?
That is the defining question of everything we've looked at today. If we synthesize these 6 bombshells, we are standing at a historic crossroads.
Absolutely.
Google is engineering a world with no physical ports where you are entirely dependent on their wireless ecosystem. Apple wants to put a $40,000 robot in your house to manage your physical health and security. Epic Games wants an AI to dictate the creation of our digital realities.
They all want total, frictionless, centralized control.
But the Llama 4 dark web leak and the Starlink spoofing hack prove undeniably that our safety nets are failing. We are building our most vital future technologies on top of incredibly fragile foundations.
So what does this all mean for you? The next time you buy a piece of tech, or the next time you marvel at some incredibly photorealistic AI-generated world, ask yourself a couple of questions.
Who owns this ecosystem? Who actually holds the keys?
And most importantly, what happens to me when the connection inevitably drops?
The convenience they are selling is incredibly seductive, but it comes with a profound hidden cost. The more tightly we integrate these systems, the more vulnerable we become to catastrophic single points of failure.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, something that bridges all of the news we covered in our deep dive today.
What's that?
If the tech industry actually succeeds in forcing us into a fully wireless, portless, AI-managed ecosystem, exactly like Google's Pixel 11 or Apple's automated home robot, what happens to your life the day an uncensored AI like Llama 4 learns how to automatically exploit the wireless spoofing vulnerabilities of networks like Starlink?
That's a chilling thought.
When your entire world is connected, wireless, and automated by AI, well, there is no physical plug left to pull.